Hello, patrons. Hope you are well. Welcome to Talking Tactics. We're going to be having a first look for you at Brighton and Hove Albion's new manager, Fabian Hurtzelaar, who is going to be the youngest ever manager in Premier League history, aged only 31. Yes, there's going to be a manager in the Premier League who is 9 fucking years younger than me. If you don't feel old yet, that may just make you feel exactly that. A little bit of background on Hurtzelaar first, and then we're going to look at some tactical principles. We're going to use tactics board to show you something very unique that Hurtzelaar does in his setup. Yes, Brighton and Hove Albion are going to remain very interesting. So Hurtzelaar was born in Houston, Texas, to a German mother and a Swiss father. Although born in the United States, essentially lived almost all of his life in Germany. The family moved back to the Munich area in Germany when he was 2 years of age and joined the academy at Bayern Munich. An heralded career, largely played for reserve slash B or second string teams at Bayern Munich, Hoffenheim, and 1860 Munich, essentially retiring from professional football aged 23. He can count, again, this will make you feel really old. His former teammates include Emre Can and Pierre-Emile Højbjerg. He got the assistant manager job at FC St. Pauli. In 2020, Hurtzelaar was named assistant manager at Bundesliga's Weihe club, FC St. Pauli, a club traditionally with a large supporter base, but has been very much underperforming in Germany. He was assistant manager to Timo Schulz. When Schulz was dismissed in December of 2022, Hurtzelaar was given the job on an interim basis. That lasted 2 weeks because they'd obviously seen enough and made him the permanent manager. They would have a very progressive end to the 22-23 season that included a run of 10 successive victories. And then they were promoted last season and the club will now play in the Bundesliga this season. In his 55 matches in charge of FC St. Pauli, they won 36 matches and lost only 7, scoring just under 2 goals per game and conceding just under 1. 54 goals conceded in 55 games. Very impressive statistics. How would that equate to the Premier League and the step up? Very difficult to say. But what I can tell you is there is some stuff here that is very interesting tactically that currently no other manager in the Premier League does. Let's head to a tactics board. And this is where, for those listening to the audio, the visual of the video will certainly help here to give you a flavour of what to expect of Hurtzelaar at Brighton. Now, what I'm showing you here might look quite defensive and dull. Imagine Brighton without the ball here. What we are looking at essentially is a 5-4-1. Do not worry too much about the personnel at this stage. Certainly, Brighton are going to make additions in this window. And it's worth saying Brighton have quite a large and bloated squad. They had a lot of injuries last year and were obviously set up for European football. There are players who are going to depart. We expect Pascal Gross is probably going to leave the club. He's been heavily linked with Borussia Dortmund. We do have a lot of options, particularly, ironically, in the attacking areas. But principally, when Brighton don't have the ball, we can expect them to be more difficult to play against. Yep, a 5-4-1 where centre-backs will, on occasion, step out and jump, particularly if a midfield player goes and presses, but they will be more difficult to play against. Interestingly, one of the managers it says that Hurtzelaar particularly admires is Crystal Palace manager. Yes, they hate each other. Not Hurtzelaar and Glasner, but Palace and Brighton fans. Oliver Glasner is one of the people that Hurtzelaar really admires. And Palace will set up a little bit like this without the ball. You might have with Palace, the two wide players might be a little bit more central. Think Antonio Conte's Pentagon, which for the longer term patrons, you may well have seen in the past. But I think that's a key point to say straight away. Brighton will be more difficult to play against and score against. The FC St. Pauli statistics tell us that. And a little bit of eye test looking at some bits last night suggests also Without the ball, we can expect them to drop deeper. They will go and press. They will want to engage. But they will be more difficult to play against. On the ball is where it gets really interesting, because please don't be fooled into thinking that Brighton are going to be a shit boring 5-4-1. What you will hear people define Brighton as a system in is something a little bit more like this, which is 3-4-3. That's the common system you're going to hear linked with Hertzler. Brighton play 3-4-3. And we know what that looks like. Again, think of Palace, and you know, Mitoma here could be Eze, for example. And Adingra here on this side might have been Michael Olise. João Pedro is your Mateta. It's your front three. Brighton have a lot of options who can play in the forward positions. So 3-4-3. Fluid. We've seen a lot of teams at Euros play that system. Switzerland springs to mind, for example. Except it's not 3-4-3. Because there is a major, major difference. What a lot of teams do is to play with a back four. And within that back four, they move to change the system so they move into a back three. Lots of teams in the Premier League do it. You'll have your Trent Alexander-Arnolds move into midfield, or your Oleksandr Zinchenkos, for example. Starting from a back four, move into a back three. A lot of clubs do it. In Tottenham's case, you'd obviously have your sort of your Porros and your Doggies both go into central areas. In Brighton's case, they do it the other way around. They move from a back three into something that's more of a back four. And a key player for Brighton is going to be whoever this player is, the central centre-back of the three. Because this is your player who is going to step out. A la, think perhaps what we've seen from John Stones. But when we've seen John Stones do it for Manchester City, what we've often seen again, he's doing it from a back four, moves into midfield, and the fullbacks would tuck in to make a back three. That is not what's going to happen most likely with Brighton. What you will get is a central midfield player moves into midfield, and the two centre-backs will stay split, and the two fullbacks will stay high. It will not be uncommon when you watch Brighton at points this season to see something that looks like this. And you'll be going, well, hang on a minute, it's five defenders and five attackers. Now, what we know is the top teams like to create a line of five attackers. We know that, okay? But you will watch games at times where you will go, I don't think Brighton are playing with a midfield here. This is the recurring message I keep hearing about Hertzler from people who talk about him and have looked at his tactics. So the reason I put Van Hek here as the central centre-back rather than say Lewis Dunk is this player is going to have to receive the ball with his back to goal, receiving from the centre-backs on occasion. And I'm not sure that's a role that Lewis Dunk's going to be very comfortable with, despite him being a very good ball-playing centre-back. Van Hek was used on the odd occasion by Roberto Di Zerbi last season in central midfield. And I think he might become the key player for Brighton in this system. They may well want to add a player that is going to be a specific to play in this team. But I think as it would stand now, Van Hek might be the ideal player to play that role. You've got balance with Dunk to the right, a left footer in Igor Julio. And what Hertzler will want is his two fullbacks to be really, really aggressive. They're quite direct in what they want to do. Please don't misunderstand that as long ball. Not at all. They want to be direct in terms of playing through teams and being brave. They want to absorb a press and then have players come and meet it. So from a starting position, you might have two sixes here. Let's say Gilmore and Balaban. Now, they're probably two players that say probably might not be suitable to this because Gilmore particularly is a player that wants to come and come to the ball. So what they might do is have someone like Balaban disappear into a more central zone. And might have Van Hek drop into here, so they build with a double pivot, particularly while they're progressing and learning new tactics. You might have Van Hek move from centre-back to perhaps a right-sided six DM position, and Gilmore will also drop short. If that happens, they build kind of like a defensive box, and you can absolutely expect the two fullbacks to bomb on centrally. And you might have your second number six, in this case, Balloa, becomes more like an eight, almost like a 10. And you can certainly expect wide players like Mitoma to end up in more central areas, with wide players from the fullback position really being tasked to push on. So I think Valentin Barco, with Pervis's Stupinan not likely to be fit till February, it probably, I think, from what I've researched, probably going to play on the left side. Most suitable for the right hand side, obviously, Tarik Lamptey. The problem with Lamptey is obviously staying fit. Probably not a role that would be too suitable for Joel Veltman in terms of what he's asked to do. But it could also be that a player like Adingra, it's not unthinkable to me that someone like Adingra might play right back for Brighton and be really tasked to do that touchline. But from what they've got in terms of playing squad at the moment, I would think Lamptey is the most suitable to do it. What they do a lot, like many of the top teams, is rotate. And it's interesting, the number of midfielders score goals for Brighton. The likes of Mitoma could really benefit. This is not saying stick him in your fantasy team. It's way too early for that sort of talk. But João Pedro obviously has a price that has interested us all. But a lot of what will happen with João Pedro, I think, is this. You can expect him to drop really short. And you might have periods in the game. I bet this will happen at some point this season with Brighton, where you'll have one of their fullbacks has a higher average position than the centre forward. It's not something that's as uncommon as you might think, actually, anyway. But a lot of João Pedro's work will be, if he is the central striker, will be to draw centre-backs to go with him and drop short and allow people to feed off and beyond him. So this player, the number nine, has got to be a really important link player. Now, João Pedro might end up being left-sided forward, for example. He could certainly play the right-sided forward. But a little bit of caution on him from a fantasy perspective, that you might find that he's having to drop short and link the play quite a lot. And I think he's a good enough player that he could probably do it as well. So a couple of really interesting things. Centre forward drops short as a midfield player. Midfield players expected to go beyond. Centre back, central, of a back three, becomes a single pivot. So they move within system quite a lot. As said, you will hear the term 3-4-3 used quite a lot, but actually in build-up, it is not that at all. Van Hek as a central centre-back to step out. You might have another six, someone like a Gilmore, because of player profile, sits shorter. But if not, you can expect the two sixes to become high eights. You can expect the number nine to drop short. You can expect wide players to end up in more central zones, and there will be a demand on fullbacks to get really high. I'm very interested in what we're going to see from Brighton's young, new and upcoming manager. It's quite exciting to see. There's no guarantee if this is going to work at all. I think it's interesting that despite some of these fluid tactics, we can expect Brighton to be way stronger defensively. As shown, it will drop in to a 5-4-1 and in a low and mid block subject to opponents. And they'll be more difficult to play against. One thing with De Zerbi's Brighton, as much as I enjoyed watching them, was you knew they were going to give you opportunities. And this team may do so as well, but it will be much stricter and more regimented, I think, off the ball. On it, expect fluidity, where players will be allowed to go where they want, but with a real emphasis, certainly, on getting defensive players into more attacking positions. That is all for Talking Tactics. Ciao for now.
The Fantasy Football Show.